Hello, and welcome to the second episode of our Equitopia podcast, From the Horse's Mouth. This is Caroline Hegarty, founder of Equitopia. In the last episode, we spoke with our lead trainer in the UK, Yasmin Stewart, about developing a team approach to caring for ourselves and our horses. Today, we're going to hear from Anne Ramsey. Anne works at our headquarters in Thornton, California, participates in our Equitopia clinics, and is also the lead educational content creator for hoof care here at Equitopia. Last week, we sat together and I started off by asking her to tell me how she first got interested in horses and how she decided she wanted to be involved with horses professionally.
I strongly believe it was just genetic or something. I literally was one of those people that came out of the womb and just right away was interested in horses. You know, before I could really talk or walk, I was interested. So I just nurtured that. I just knew that that horses were a passion. I started as a rider, and I thought as a young person, oh, maybe I'd like to be a trainer because I was very interested in competitive riding. And so I went to college. I went to Cal Poly and got my degree in animal science. And then after college, I sort of was working as a horse trainer a little bit. But I started to notice a lot of these sport horses, performance horses, were really not getting very far in their careers. They were breaking down. And I realized I was actually a lot more interested in what was making them uncomfortable or painful and then how to ride it than I really was in teaching riding or competitive riding myself. I was just really, really passionate about trying to get horses out of pain and through pain. So that's when it really shifted for me.
I've known Anne for some time now, and I find it fascinating to watch her work. She seems very confident in what she's doing, and the horses seem to really feel that they're in good hands. But everyone starting out on a career has to climb a learning curve. So I asked her to tell me about any challenges she faced when she began working in hoof care and how she overcame these.
So some of the challenges I was facing when I decided I was really interested in hoof care were that I had very little experience working on hooves. So I really was starting right from ground zero. And I did a really wonderful apprenticeship. And I got into a lot of barefoot trimming, barefoot rehabilitation of horses, which I thought was really pretty incredible. It's a lot that you can do for a hoof capsule when it's barefoot. But I also was really interested in pathological feet, so feet that really needed even more intervention and support. So that led me to start studying different composite shoe methods.
Over the years, I've worked with many farriers and hoof care experts, but I have to say that working with Anne is quite different, in a good way. For me, it's obvious that she has an approach that includes a whole team and is different to most professionals who have worked on my horse's feet. So I asked her if there was a specific point when she consciously decided to take a different approach to hoof care and how this happened.
Because I had been rescuing and rehabilitating quite a few thoroughbreds from the racetrack, restarting them for new careers in jumping or dressage, I had a lot of background and a lot of information about musculoskeletal diseases, lamenesses, and I really started to see how it affected the feet. So then once I became a trimmer and became involved in hoof care, I was really able to marry those two skill sets, and I think it was a very different approach to say to my clients, you know, the horse, the way the horse is being trained is affecting the feet. The way the horse is carrying itself and has been compensating is affecting the feet. So initially it was really also to sort of change the dialogue between the client and I, because there's a lot of sort of, you know, if a hoof capsule was distorting repeatedly, there was a lot of sort of questioning, like, why can't you just simply trim this and it'll get better? And so I really had to dive deeper into the mechanics of the whole limb and the whole horse and really work holistically in order to get a better result for the hoof capsule. So I started doing a lot of body work, and then I went and actually did a whole certification in equine rehabilitation at the Animal Rehab Institute in Florida. So it's sort of it's definitely a unique approach to feet and a whole horse approach.
The way Anne speaks about her approach makes me realize how different this is to the approach of many farriers. They look at the horse's hoof in isolation and give what would appear to be a quick and easy fix that many owners would be happy with. So I had to ask the question, does she get a lot of pushback from clients and other professionals?
You know, I don't know if it's pushback, but I would say there's definitely a lot of surprise. A lot of people, I think, are not expecting someone who maybe is more routinely in their horse's lives for hoof care to really start sort of explaining and maybe educating about the musculoskeletal condition of the horse. And a lot of what I do is usually referring clients to a veterinarian, and I like to work in tandem with a veterinarian. So if there's any pushback that I get, it's usually from clients who maybe are a little bit more resistant to sort of to really fully fleshing out whatever is bothering their horse. And in that case, those folks probably don't stay clients that long. But I think it's less of a pushback and more of just a genuine surprise. And I think a lot of people are actually really happy because they want to understand more about their horse. They want more information and involvement from a team of a veterinarian and a hoof care provider.
I agree with Anne on this. I think more and more people are looking for proper answers, and they really want to understand what's going on with their horse and how they can be responsible custodians of their animals. You might remember that Yasmin made the same point in her interview, that horse owners today are now more questioning than in the past, and they are more likely to look for information that will get the best results for themselves and their horses. I asked Anne to tell me a little bit about the improvements she has seen in the past years and the challenges that still need to be overcome from her perspective.
I actually think that hoof care in general has really evolved and improved a lot in the last decade, certainly, but even maybe the last 20 or 30 years before that. We're really starting to delve deeper into the anatomy and the physiology of horses in terms of farrier training. There's even more emphasis on it. And I think we're really learning new things. There's more research coming out right now, so we're understanding the foot and understanding podiatry in a way we never have before. So it's pretty exciting to watch it unfold and to hopefully participate in delivering some of these new methods to horses in need. I think some of the challenges that are difficult is really just how little information is actually available for horse owners. Horse owners really do want more quality education and information, and there are limited pathways to obtaining it. And so I think that's one of the challenges. Another challenge is maybe not so much in my work, but I see it a lot in industry, is that we don't have a kind of interdisciplinary team approach to working with horses. So for me, with my clients, it's really important that I know their veterinarian, that veterinarian and I speak, either in real time or over the phone about that horse's care pretty regularly. And also that the trainer is involved. And that's something that I'm really passionate about and I'm really committed to. But I'm not sure that that's probably the majority of people out there. I think veterinarians and farriers and trainers and body workers are often working quite independently and not communicating well, not sharing information well. The client usually ends up being not through any fault of their own, but they end up being kind of a a poor conduit of what should be some pretty detailed information about the animal's welfare and well-being. I'm hoping that it's turning around, both that we are having more integration of practitioners, and also that clients are really searching, horse owners are really searching for quality evidence-based information to help their horses.
As a continuation to this, I asked her to explain what she believes needs to change in equine care.
I would say that we need to have a change in how we work as independent practitioners, but who have mutual clients that really need both of our input and attention. We really, in the industry, we're going to be much, much more successful if we work together. I think it's something that needs to be improved. And we have to improve it by really improving relationships. That's what we're talking about. It's about picking up the phone. It's about making the time to be at the appointment for the veterinarian and the farrier to be at the appointment. You know, for me, I don't really want to do shoeing on lame horses unless the veterinarian's there and I have a before x-ray and an after x-ray. I'd like to do that at least a few times. If I've got an animal that's really in pain, I think it's worth it. And I think the quality of the care for the horse goes up exponentially just through developing those relationships with the team. Some of my worries or concerns are that, you know, we can't really always be sure what priority horse owners really place on their horse. What does that animal really mean to them? And so I think the horse serves different purposes for different people who are in the business. And because of the different circumstances surrounding them, sometimes it really isn't about the horse being first. It's sort of there's more at stake. There's a lot of financial investment in some of horses that are competing maybe at the upper echelons of the sport. And so whenever that happens, there is a tendency, and it's not all the time, but there is a tendency for the horse's well-being to maybe be secondary to sort of getting through the next competition or getting through the next season. So I think it's something that we have to look really, really closely at. And we're talking about all areas of the business, whether it's the racetrack or Olympic level sport. We need to really keep a close eye on ourselves as custodians and lovers and caregivers of horses, that we keep them first. We keep their health and their sanity and their soundness first.
At Equitopia, since we're looking at the role of different professionals in equine care in this series, I asked Anne to summarize the qualities she would look for in some of the members of an equine team. Here's what Anne had to say on trainers.
I'm looking for a trainer who is curious and interested in working horses only when they're at their most sound, and training the horse in a way that protects their soundness, protects and strengthens the horse.
Anne's perspective on vets.
In a veterinarian, I'm really looking for someone who has really robust diagnostic skills and is also really interested in listening to parallel professionals like the trainer and the farrier.
From a farrier's perspective, I asked her to explain what people should ideally look for in a farrier.
So for farriers, you really want to look for someone who has a deep, deep understanding of the anatomy. And you really want to look for someone who is willing to take the time to stand at the side of the truck with you and really explain everything that they're doing for your horse and why they're doing it. You also want to look for someone who runs toward or moves toward a veterinarian being involved with your horse. Those are good indications that you have a really, really good farrier on board.
I then asked her what she has to say about nutritionists.
You know, nutritionists are pretty incredible people. And I guess what I would be looking for is someone that can really explain everything to me in a way that I can understand it and absorb it. Clients are really looking for that too. They want something that they can just understand and implement quickly and without a lot of confusion for their horse.
And finally, Anne's perspective on saddle fitters.
Saddle fitters. What you're looking for in a saddle fitter is probably an independent one. A saddle fitter that really is not necessarily attached to any one brand in particular, but that can work on a range of saddles and understands a wide variety of saddle makes and models, and someone who can really open up your saddle and adjust the tree, someone who can really do detailed work on the panels and potentially shimming with pads. So your saddle fitter should be someone with a really, really robust understanding of your horse's back, because your saddle is probably one of the most important pieces of equipment, if not the most important piece of equipment you put on your horse.
Before finishing up, I asked Anne if she could recommend a couple of books for people who want to understand hoof care.
Yeah, so if you're looking for information specifically about hoof care, I really recommend reading A Modern Look at the Hoof by Monique Craig. It's just a fabulous book really a kinematic and almost like an engineering perspective, but the information is not, it's very palatable. It's very easy to understand and easy to appreciate. And then the second book I would recommend is Care and Rehabilitation of the Equine Foot by Pete Ramey, because you get a lot of info from that book. There's multiple authors of note, including Dr. Carrie Ridgway, Dr. Robert Bowker, and there's some detailed explanations of peer-reviewed research that Diane Isbell has been involved with, who's a fabulous lameness veterinarian, all-around veterinarian. So those are the two books I highly recommend if you want to understand your horse's feet better.
I really enjoyed my conversation with Anne. She's a consummate professional, and I find I can always learn something new from her that helps me as a horse owner. She really takes time to explain everything she does, why she does it, and this is really important to me. So my thought for you today is this: do the professionals who take care of your horses take the time or have the time to give you clear explanations about what they're doing? Do you feel more knowledgeable afterwards, say from a visit from your vet? Is this something you consider important? What do you need to do to be an equal member of the equine team? Something to think about. And that brings us to the end of the episode. I hope you've enjoyed listening, and I'm going to leave you with the last word to my guest today, Anne Ramsays, where she speaks about her hopes for the future of the equestrian world. Thanks for listening. Tune in next month for more from the Horse's Mouth.
I hope that life keeps getting better for horses. I think that when horses retired from being really sort of like the primitive version of a motor vehicle, that their lives improved exponentially. And I think that that's going to continue for horses as they really are moving much more into being sort of companion animals and athletic partners. So my hope is that life just keeps getting better for horses. We keep understanding the best practices to use for them, how to manage their feet, their diet. That's my hope for the equine future.